Blog Talk Radio.
We're back, and the living legend is here, and we're not talking about Jose. All right, Real Sports Talk Radio live on the air every Wednesday night, exclusively here on the Back Sports Page Radio Network. I am the one and only Randy Zelia, along with the man who dances just like Miley Cyrus at the MTV Music Awards, Jose Padilla, and the living legend himself joining us, the one and only Gary Casper. Gentlemen, I say good evening.
Good night. Hello, dude. What's going on?
Well, and I think Jose appreciates it. Someone's saying it's an honor to be around with him. Jose, welcome back. It's been a long 2 weeks. So much going on. Real quick, call in number 760-283-0846. 760-283-0846. Find us on Facebook. You can contact Jose on Twitter and yell at him there at AngryJose15. And I'm RandyBFC. Let's jump right into this, Jose. Jose, I want to start this with you. This is a discussion that we were having a little bit this afternoon, and Gary and I were having a little bit earlier. The wild card in baseball right now is a big night for Cleveland fans. This is the this is their World Series. They get in, they get to play, they get to extend it a little longer, and possibly have a chance for a championship. And we all know with baseball, it's a hot. Like when you're a hot team, that's when usually good things happen. Jose, what do you think about this so far?
Well, first of all, it's not the World Series because. Honestly, even if they won this one, they still got another round to go. So, listen, I'm happy for Cleveland. I think they did a great job throughout the season. We were waiting for that shoe to drop. It never did. I feel good for guys like Giambi and Swisher who just got tossed aside and no one gave them much, much pub signing with Cleveland. And it's good, I'm happy for both of them, even though Swisher annoys the hell out of me sometimes with his dopey antics. He's still a good baseball player. That being said, though, just to talk about the whole wild card situation, and I'm sure we'll hit on this maybe a little later, I'm not a fan of this one-game situation that we have seen today with Cleveland and Tampa Bay, nor am I or the issue with Pittsburgh and Cincinnati from last night. We play 162 games to get to this point, and then for your whole season to be decided in one game is kind of ludicrous, in my honest opinion.
Well, Gary, we were discussing that earlier. What's your take on the one game? First off, the one game play-in that Texas and Tampa had, and then also the one game wild card to see who goes into the next round.
Well, I think the first scenario that you gave us, the Tampa and Texas, both of the teams tied. For that one, I can understand a one game playoff because more than likely you would think most teams. Wouldn't tie. So the one game I like, but the next scenario when then Tampa has to go on and then without taking the two teams tying and you have the one game scenario, I'm really not for it. Baseball is so long. It's just a long season. And to have to only play one game and then have your season done, I'm just not a fan of it. I would really like to see maybe a 3-game series, max 5-game. To really determine that. And then you move on, you start the division series and then the championship series.
No, and I totally agree with that. And the Tampa-Texas thing, that was a game to just get into the playoffs. So that was a regular season game. So it doesn't really count as far as the whole wild card situation goes. But, these wild card games, and listen, this is a cash grab by MLB. We all know that's what it is. They have these games because they simply just want to just make as much money as they possibly can. But it kind of defeats the whole purpose of what baseball is about. Again, 162 games. It's the one sport that, really tests your endurance, your stamina, for all everything. You go months and months. For your season to basically end in one game where you don't even know necessarily you don't even have your best pitcher out there, or it will... influence how the series goes if you win. that one game playoff, it kind of just defeats all purpose. Why are we having these, you know, why do we go so crazy? You know, it's just, to me, it's just absurd. And if anything, if you want to do something like this, then shorten the season. So at least, you know, you have a better chance to, like, set up your rotation for a situation like this. This truly does, and again, this is, the purpose of it, though, it truly does give an advantage to the team that does not have to be involved in this wild card game. But I still don't think that's right, even though, you know, listen, you got to, if you win your division, and that's what they're trying to kick, and I don't mean to just harp on it, but they want you to win the division. They want you to go for it because for the longest time, winning the wild card was an advantage in hindsight when you looked at how they all played out. They're trying to take that away from the wild card teams, but I still don't think a one-game playoff is the way to go about this.
I actually, in a way, I sort of like it because me not being a real diehard baseball fan and sort of has an attention span of a pea at sometimes, that's what I can honestly admit that I do. I like the idea of it, the one game meaning something, that you can go and then they move on. Remember last year, Baltimore won this inaugural wild card game and they played the Yankees and probably was the most exciting playoff series last year in the baseball playoffs. I'll tell you, it's not the worst idea they came up with. It's not as dumb as the winning lead from the All-Star game, getting home field advantage in the World Series, but...
Well, here's the point, though, Randy. You just said it yourself. You like it because you're not a diehard. That's the whole problem. Every sport, unfortunately, caters to the non-actual fan. Every sport caters to the person who's going to give a crap about what's going on for the whole season and watches like 10 minutes of a playoff game. So right there, you know, you're the reason why the All-Star game means something, essentially. That sort of track record, you know, that sort of mind process is what leads to the All-Star game being worth the home field advantage in the playoffs. And if you don't like that, then I don't understand how you could like this, because it's all the same. It's all along the same path.
Well, the thing is that you have to understand, too, you're at a different point in a different situation. Listen, Major League Baseball has changed so much over the years. I think of all the sports, they've made the most consensus of from what made them a quote-unquote America's game. If you remember back maybe, Gary, I would say, what do you think about it? 20 years ago, baseball games, including playoff games, were done during the day. You were able to have a day playoff game. You were able to have, but right now, kids who are a certain age don't stay up to watch these baseball games. So, you know, I think right now, to get that casual fan, to get those casual viewers, if it means you have to do something to shorten the, something that you don't have to dedicate so much time to, it may not be the worst thing in the world. I'm not saying that I'm thrilled about all this, but I still think they're trying to change it up and they're experimenting in a way to make things a little bit more interesting. So that's what I'm crediting them for.
I have to tell you, that time argument with that from back in the day, I don't see how that helps one way or the other, whether it's a casual fan or a hardcore fan. Listen, I'll be honest. If we all had our way, yeah, we would probably prefer that these games get played at a decent hour. But that's never going to happen again. There's too much money involved. People like, you know, despite what we hear, we enjoy watching the games at night. Maybe we wish they were an hour earlier. Monday Night Football. If it could be at 6:55 every Monday, I'd be ecstatic, and I would sign up for that, and you'd never hear me complain. But the truth of the matter is that's never going to happen. And I'm telling you, when I heard the other day that San Diego and Oakland were moving their football game to 11:45 Eastern Time to accommodate the Oakland A baseball game in the playoffs, it just tells you, like, you know what, playoff stuff on that time, they do not care about the fan. They just want to get these games in. You know, the money will be made, and that's all there is to it.
I agree with you. I don't know if they would ever shorten the season in baseball. It's been a long season, definitely for sure. I don't know if they ever shorten it, but when it comes to playoffs, you know, I really want to see the most games. It's exciting. Fun. The intensity rises in the playoffs. You get the most out of these guys. You get guys that, you know, sometimes that just show up and you wouldn't expect. You get the heroes, the unsung heroes. And I like to see that. But this whole one game that we're getting, I'm not a fan of it. I'd rather see it get into 3 or 5. And then let's roll into the regular series that we have. Let's show off, you know, these teams, give them a chance. I mean, think about it. You had the Tampa Bay Rays, who thought they were going to be in the playoffs? You had the Yankees, you had the Red Sox, you had the Orioles. And then how about give it up for the Pirates? I mean, that team hasn't been in over 20 years. And they won their game, and now they're moving on. So I think it's really exciting. Let's see more playoffs, more baseball. Extend it to 3 or 5 games. Give the people what they want, the excitement, and then we move forward.
Jose, I'm looking for the TV ratings for last night's game, but I saw in a local market, the Pittsburgh market, it got a 33. 33 last night. Running the also,
Pittsburgh,
I think,
market got a 33 last night?
The local market in Pittsburgh got a 33.
Well, I'm glad. I mean, look, that fan base hasn't had anything to root for, you know, 20 years now. I mean, so that's great. You know, that's good for them. There should have been people. That place should have been sold out, and people who couldn't get in should have been watching that game, you know, anywhere, whether it be at home or at the bar. So I think that's fantastic, you know.
Okay.
I, what you want me to say? I mean, I think that's great.
I actually got the numbers here if you want it. The MLB wildcard game last night had adult 18 to 49-year-old had a 1.3 rating.
Okay.
For, you know, across the country. And an overall a 4.0 rating overall.
All right.
So, you know, that's good. You know what I mean? it's not the worst rating in the world. I just want to compare that to the night before. Just give me another second on it. You know, remember, the most important thing with this, Jose, it's about money. And obviously, I know at the end of the day,
well, that's
they
what I
want,
said it was about money. I mean,
I know it's about money, but at the same time, wow.
It's about money. There's nothing else. It's just money.
Wow.
If you say there's
Monday.
Anything else, you're just speaking MLB show talk. But it's money. That's all it is.
Here you go. Here you go, Jose. The NFL for Monday, Major League Baseball. Well, Monday's cable ratings, NFL regular season football drew a 5.6 in the demographic of 18 to 49-year-olds, and it was a 13.7 rating.
Okay.
Major League Baseball, their rating for that demographic, 0.9. That was the Texas-Tampa game, and was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12th most watched program. Whereas it was second on Tuesday night. And they lost to Adult Swim's Family Guy repeats, Monday Night Countdown, NFL Primetime, WWE Raw, and the Live Sports Center at 11:50.
Well, again, because that game wasn't a playoff game. That game, you know, and I believe,
and
I'm wrong on this, I believe that game
when
was
you lose the robot, when you lose the Robot Chicken and basketball-wise, okay, people aren't watching. So sometimes you need to have a shorter amount of, you know, baseball.
Hold on, my friend. I didn't see you going all nuts about this when the Stanley Cup Game 3 outdrew Game 2 of an NBA Final, whatever game that was.
Let's
have revisionist history here. It just happened. That game was not a playoff game. That was a playing game. And unfortunately, that game was not in any, I don't believe it was in a local market. That game was only available on MLB. So if you don't have the MLB network, you can't watch that game.
That game was on TBS.
Oh, it was on TBS? Okay, then my apologies. But still, I mean, that's not a playoff game. I mean, you can say all you want. It's a playing game. It's not a playoff game. No one cares. And besides, it was going up against football.
Yes, well, my question to you is, with the remaining series, that's going to be whether Cleveland wins or not. Do you think that because a team like the Yankees, who usually draws attention,
No, because Boston's in there. And honestly, I think more people watch to boot to the hate on the Yankees than they do to actually watch the Yankees. It's like it's the Howard Stern theory, where people who listen to you more because they hate you, but they want to hear what you got to say next so they can hit on you, like, you know, get you for something that you say, as opposed to listening to you because they want to hear what you got to say. You know, that's the whole thing with the Yankees. I mean, that's what it's come down to. And even this year, since the team was so bad, you can see in the YES Network ratings that no one's going to the games and no one's watching the game. So, I mean, that's going to be a situation that I'm sure we'll hit at a later date, but that's going to get a lot worse, you know, as far as that goes. But I don't buy into any of that crap. I mean, as far as, like, teams are being it. Not, as long as the local fan base in those areas, as long as those ratings are good, I'll never, like, question anything with the baseball. Now, if you tell me that, for example, tonight, if they don't get over, like, a 12 or a 13 or whatever, like you said last night was 33 in Pittsburgh, if they don't at least get a 25 tonight in Cleveland, then that's a disappointment.
I agree with you. But also you have to remember one very important thing, too. A lot of these games are now on national TV. TBS and TNT are taking over the baseball playoffs. MLB Network, I think, lost the rights to do some of these games this year.
Well, MLB, that's stupid in itself. But I must remind you, though, too. I know it's hard to fathom, but there are people that don't have cable. They just aren't.
Look how much cable companies are charging.
I can tell you right now, I know 10 people alone that do not have cable.
Listen, look how much some of these cable networks are charging. You know, like out here you have Optimum and Fios and DirecTV, you know, and Time Warner. So you have four different companies, and they're out trying to bid each other, trying to give you the best deal. You can just as easily be spending $160 a month on cable television. So that's why a lot of people like to start streaming and get these Rokus and Apple TVs and just buy the subscriptions. There's people who don't need cable TV anymore because everything that they watch is online. All they need to do is have the hookup that are online to the television, and they can watch all the shows they want without having any commercials or have to deal with anything else like that. And for sports games, they can actually pick the market they want. So if you're in New York but you're a San Diego Padres fan, you can watch the Padre games from the Padre broadcast through the MLB ticket. So, you know, you don't really need the cable television anymore to watch a lot of these games.
So most people who don't have cable are probably not too concerned about sporting events. Let's be honest.
Oh, yeah. I tell you, I guarantee you,
if we look that number up, I guarantee you that the people who don't have cable could probably give a rat's butt about, you know, MLB playoffs, NHL games, or NBA games, or, you know, whatever. That could be true, everything you're saying, but I'm pretty sure what I'm saying is fairly accurate as well, that in most cases, that's not really an issue. Because I guarantee you right now, people who have cable probably still have those packages anyway because they're trying to, you know, they're just trying to get, you know, as many games as they can, like, you know, for whatever, you know, whatever they may watch. Or, you know, there's some crazy sport fans that just want to watch as much as they want.
No, I understand. Real quickly, we have to touch on two other topics, actually both involving the Yankees. I want to get both your opinions. Gary's first. The situation with Joe Girardi, interviewing with, you know, his people spoke to the Yankees today. They're talking, Jose, and I know you heard this number. They were talking about possible $6 million a year for Joe Girardi, but there's also interest in the Cubs. But I want to start with Gary. Gary, would it benefit Joe Girardi to go to the Chicago Cubs, or would it benefit him to stay with the New York Yankees?
I don't know if it's the word. I think it's just what the man wants to do at this point. Where does he want to be? And potentially the best chance to win, you can look at the Yankees. They'll spend money and so on. If he goes to the Cubs, playing with the Cubs, I think that'd be more of a comfortable situation. He's been there before. And with the Yankees too, he's been comfortable there. But I think it just comes down to really what he wants personally. You know, he's been coaching now for a while, so I have a feeling that he has a decision in his mind already. He said that the money doesn't matter. I mean, listen. Money always matters. You got family. You hear this and that from every different athlete. But I'll tell you one thing about Joe Girardi. He did an outstanding job this year with what the Yankees went through with all the injuries. I mean, they were just completely decimated. The laundry list of people, Peter, Teixeira, Granderson, on and on, you know, the whole A-Rod saga as a manager. So I think the man did a fantastic job, and it's really going to be his personal decision. Nothing's going to benefit him. I think either way, he'll make a good decision. He'll talk with his family, I'm sure, see where they want to be, and ultimately, I really don't think he can go wrong.
Go for it, Jose.
You know what? I say this all the time. Managers are managers. General managers are general managers. Players are players. Only two of those three are completely overrated when it comes to how your team performs, and the other third of that actually has some say in that. Look, if Chicago wants to give him $6 million, and I did hear about that earlier in the day, that's fine. Go for it. You're going to end up finding out that you're paying $6 million for a guy who really does not add anything to your team other than a name at this point. I mean, I understand he won a manager of the year under 500 with a bad Marlin team, but he got let go. And no matter what stories you believe about that, he still got let go. I mean, he was fired, and he won the award that year. He won a World Series with a team that was fully stocked. I mean, if the fact that Joe Girardi only won one World Series with this team, and I'll give him a pass on this year because I like to respect the fact that there were all these injuries. You know, I mean, the fact that he only won one, I mean, it's absurd. And let's also remember, guys, Joe Torre actually won multiple World Series with this team, and the Yankees went crap nuts over even suggesting giving him that much money. So, I mean, if the Cubs wouldn't give him $6 million, you should go. Because I don't think the Yankees are going to give him that much. And if they do, you're going to be paying a lot of money to a manager who's not going to really add much more to your team than just the name at this point.
I'll be honest with you. I think Joe Girardi was a very good manager. I was living down in Florida the year he was working with the Marlins. The team created a buzz, and they believed what he was saying. They just weren't that talented of a team. I like Girardi as the manager of the Yankees. But, Jose, you and I have both said on this show many times, and Gary and I have also spoken about this before too, there's going to be a point where the Yankees are going to be a bad team again. And,
it's going to happen next year probably.
Yeah, they're going to be a bad team, and they're going to have to rebuild. And I don't think Girardi wants to sit around for a full rebuilding process. So, there's a lot of talk that the Cubs have a lot of young talent. They have been bringing some nice mix of veterans in. It gives them the opportunity to compete.
Cubs are not a team that are going to win the World Series anytime soon. I mean, let's just be honest. They're not. I mean, if he's going to Chicago, it's clearly based on just family, like the family heartstrings being pulled there. Because that's where he's from. He's from the Illinois area, and that's it. Because, I mean, you wouldn't leave the Yankees to go to the Cubs. Not at this stage, anyway.
I'm very intrigued by this whole thing. And now the other topic that involves the Yankees, it's our wonderful friend Alex Rodriguez. And the guy who I really, really, I really found that whole thing about him walking into Major League Baseball's offices this week and really... But there was a crowd of people, and now there's talk that the crowd of people were put there by A-Rod, and they offered these people free lunches to stand out there and cheer for him and defend him. And people are saying that Randy Levine's the devil. Then they asked these people who Randy Levine is. They don't even know who he is. So, you know, guys, I don't get it. And I'm trying to figure out, listen, A-Rod admitted that he did steroids at a time where it wasn't illegal in baseball. Jose, you and I have fought back and forth on this too many times. But he originally took steroids at first at a time where there was no penalty for taking them. You can't they put a rule in 2004 and have somebody admit that they took it in 2001 and then penalize them. Because there was no penalty, there was no testing, there was nothing going on at that point. Now, A-Rod, you know, this whole thing with A-Rod and this other investigation, if he is guilty, then he should sit. But to start punishing a guy because he took steroids at a time when they weren't exactly illegal, I don't think is exactly right. And I would love to hear both of you guys, your view on it. Go ahead.
Well, I think at this point we're going to slowly start to learn a little bit more. So you can't really pass judgment right now. Everything at this point is just hearsay. We don't really know the true facts. The they're bringing Bosch in. They're obviously going to be discussing many different things that come to the table with this issue. So for me personally right now, I can't pass judgment. They give him the suspension. Let's see if more things come out. 211 games, this is like such a crazy number when you think about it. He's out a season plus. Maybe it gets reduced, I don't know. But interesting, Randy, that you were talking about the people outside and waiting for A-Rod. People love drama in their life, and it just draws them in. And A-Rod is a polarizing figure, and people just, they eat that up. And I don't think it's ever going to go away. And honestly, I'm interested in A-Rod. If I could, I would.
You would suspend him.
You know what I would do? Every time I hear him, I want to take gasoline, pour it on myself, and light myself on fire because I hear him all the time. I'm actually sick of hearing about this. I hope it gets resolved soon so we can put it to bed. And I'm sure the New York Yankees want to get this resolved so they can move forward and figure out what they're going to do in the offseason, because as we all know, they have a lot of things to think about, and he's one of them, to see what the outcome's going to be.
I will say this. Anytime Randy Levine gets called the devil, it brings a smile to my face. I'm just going to say that right now.
I'm just trying to
make sure Gary Gordon got sleep on. Watch baseball can point out who Randy Levine is. So people who got paid by A-Rod, and I'm sure that's what that was, you know, just putting that out there, to me, that's just hysterical. I really, honestly, I'm telling you. Randy, could you point out Randy Levine if I put him in a room with, like, five other guys?
I wouldn't even have a clue who he is. You know, I thought you'd be calling him the name Randy is being made.
You know, it was just comical, you know. I found it hysterical, actually, when I heard that. But, I mean, yeah, it brought a smile to my face. Especially brought a smile to my face because Michael Kay was shilling the other day talking about, how can someone say something like that? That's absurd. Like, you know, how can you call someone a devil? You know, how, like, you know, if someone called me the devil, I'd be like, that's awesome. They're comparing me to Kaiser Soze. I mean, that's just phenomenal. And obviously no one got the joke, so I'll just move on.
I got it. It just wasn't that good.
I'm going to punch you. I'm going to go over the way you're at and punch you in the face. Anyway, but my point is, though, like, really, it's all dumb. You know, I hope they get this over with, because I really honestly think he's not going to sniff anywhere near 200 games. If he gets any more than Ryan Braun got, I will be shocked.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he might get about 100 games, because he's a center. Like, it seems like if you really paid people and bought these files from this company to show that he didn't have any record, if all these things are true.
Just remember, if it's okay for Major League Baseball to do that, why shouldn't A-Rod be afforded that opportunity?
I don't know. It's a very good question.
You know,
that's a very good question.
Everyone is dirty in this. Everyone is dirty in this, as far as I'm concerned. You know, they're all just trying to make each other look worse. But, like, really, they're all compliable in this. So, if it's okay for baseball to buy that crap, then I don't see why everyone gets so uptight when A-Rod try to buy it, you know?
When it comes to steroids, though, I didn't see a lot of people really complaining when we had a home run race in 1998. I mean, everybody was suspecting something anyway. I don't see what the fraud, like, okay, you put a drug testing system in to stop this now. I understand. You want to try and clean up the game. The great Mariano Rivera made a comment saying the one thing he regrets is being involved in the steroid era. Okay, I get it. I understand it. Here's the part I don't understand. Why is this overseeing the play on the field right now? Why?
Because everyone assumes that it's clean. When everyone, you know, it's all assumption. Once it gets brought out that stuff is dirty, people get annoyed by that stuff, especially in baseball, because people take this game to heart. It's sacred. It's the one sport they find sacred. Look, football, we all know it's dirty, but every aspect of football is dirty. You know, people take steroids. They get suspended for it all the time. People gamble on football, wildly. Look, a regular season playoff game outdrew a play-in game. I mean, so that's just the way it is. We accept it. It's accepted. In baseball, it's not accepted. So when it came out, when the Pandora's box was open, people are going nuts and they want to close it. They want to make sure it doesn't happen because there's a hardship to this.
One of the things, Ray, that you were talking about was the night where we had McGuire and Sosa doing the chase. It was just hearsay. There was no proof at that point. And people were in the moment again. It was exciting. I mean, I remember watching McGuire. I remember him, you know, hitting that line drive home run in the left field coming around. I mean, it was crazy. And I was, you were watching every night. I know you were, right?
Yeah. We cared. You know what I mean? Like, as sports fans, we cared. You know, at that time, you and I were both graduating high school. That was like the oh, my God. But now you look back at it, and now you're sort of, like, almost embarrassed because,
I'm going to be honest with you, Randy. I'm speaking dead serious on this. I actually did not care about that race. I enjoy sports. So, McGuire and Sosa going for the home run record, I know it was a big deal to a lot of people. It was a big deal to me because it involved my team.
Well, listen, everyone has their opinion. I think people, and I won't say everyone, but I think a lot of people, I would say, at least, like the records, people come close to it and then obviously break it. But eventually you hear that it wasn't done, look at people were cheating. It scars people. It really scars people, and it gets to people a lot in this in this era now. So, but one of the things, just going back to Jose, what you said about people finding out when you hear, as far as people doing it, like, can you imagine, and Ray knows I'm a New York fan, one of the rumors right now, Jose, as you know, is people talking about it, Mike Piazza. Mike Piazza, I was a Mets fan, loved Mike Piazza. Hitting home runs, still remember from 9/11, that great home run he hit, it was unbelievable. Place was electric and so many other moments he had. But could you imagine, Jose, if it ever came out that he did steroids?
You know what? It'd be an embarrassment for him, but honestly, it would not bother me anymore because we've seen so many guys already get busted. You know, I don't even think people care as much anymore. I think it's really like a small, loud minority that go crazy over stuff like this. I really do believe it. I think it would be embarrassing for Piazza since he's been so adamant about not taking steroids that we did get busted, which at this point, there's just no way it's going to happen now. I mean, it's been this far long since he retired, and if they haven't found anything now, they're not going to at this point. So,
well, that goes back.
I mean, I think we're in the clear with that, but I think for him it would be an embarrassment because he made such a point of stating that he never did steroids.
But that just goes back to exactly what we were just saying. Why are you going to start penalizing people so long after the fact? Like, listen, I understand if there's current players in baseball. Look, Jason Giambi is a perfect example. Let's A-Rod's right now in an extreme situation. Look at Jason Giambi. The word got out, I think he was one of the first ones, right? If he was not the first one, who basically came out and sort of had to apologize and admit that he took steroids without really admitting it. He remember he hit that press conference and said, I'm sorry for doing something I probably shouldn't have done. And that ended it. But he was the first one. But at the time, they were beating him up and making him guilty of something that wasn't a crime. So,
let's get it clear. He did something that wasn't technically illegal in baseball law. What he did was illegal, though. You have to clarify that. Well, he wasn't technically illegal in baseball, but it is illegal. I mean, theoretically, if they wanted to, they probably could have gone after him and pressed charges for taking steroids. You're not allowed to take steroids unless you have medical clearance.
Okay, so you're telling me right now, that if I decided I wanted to smoke marijuana, or do something illegal. Marijuana, there are prescription marijuana, so that's the wrong example, so I do apologize.
Yes, it is. That's what I was going to say. Where are you going with that? Listen, if you got something legally, no matter what it is, and you have a right to take it, then that's great. That all the power to you. No one's going to complain. But if you do something in a certain light, in whatever it may be, like, again, steroids were not technically wrong in baseball, but they are against the law. Unless you have a medical prescription to take. Even then, I think you have to check with even you know, but now, if something like that was to happen where you need to take it, you have to get that clear with, you know, the powers that be at the MLB. You know, you just can't, you know, take it willy-nilly just because you have a medical reason for it. You have to get all that stuff cleared.
But I bring up the point, though.
Otherwise.
But I bring up the point, though, again. And Gary just stepped away for a second. He just came back. And I'm going to bring up the point again. So you're telling me that, you know, if they have a prescription and it's okay with Major League Baseball, they're allowed to take a certain steroid. So you're telling me that, and so it's not technically illegal. So you're telling me that if I get a doctor's note saying I'm allowed to take cocaine in the dugout, as long as I have a note saying it's okay, it's illegal? No, I'm sorry, it's legal?
Well, listen, if you're allowed to take, look, if you got legal clearance, if you are medically, you need to do this, and I don't know why you would need to do it at a dugout, but if you had to do it in a dugout with 10,000 people watching you, you know, then yes, look, if it's, you have medical clearance to do it, then I'm sure it's okay. Now, honestly, look, that's taking it a step to a point of absurdity. But
I know,
so I think
it was.
You're trying
to
make
a stupid point. You get the point across to show how stupid it was.
But no, but the how you said it is dumb because you want to be taking it in the dugout. But if you had to take it at home or you had to take it in the back of the, you know, in the trainer's office, then so be it. That, you know, look, there are medical reasons why people would take something like that. You know, I've heard. I'm not completely clear on how, why, but there are reasons why people would do something like that. But if you have medical clearance to do it, then you have medical clearance. You know, if I had to smoke weed because, I had, glaucoma or, like, I needed something to ease the pain of chemo, then that's fine because you have medical reason to take it. But for someone to smoke weed just because they want to smoke weed, that's not okay. You don't have there's no reason for you to smoke weed otherwise, unless and I don't hold it against people who do, because I know people who do it, and that's fine, and I don't judge them. But my point is, if you got caught, and you were busted for it, and you don't have an actual medical reason to do it, then, you know, you got to deal with the consequences of that. That's my point.
I understand what your point is,
I'm all for it. It's the only point, though. There's nothing you can say that makes that wrong. It's a logical point. I'm not trying to bust your hump, but it's just a fact.
No, it's true. So, like, listen, there's so many different layers to this, and I just want them to really understand that, like, steroid issue has been blown out of proportion, and obviously we're
Let me ask you a question, man. Would you prefer if they just flat out said there was a statute of limitation on how far and how long they could go on this for you?
Yes.
Okay, what if I told you that there wasn't a statute of limitation on this? Like, it's kind of like murder. You commit murder, if they find you, you're busted.
Okay, well, this is not me talking about the NBA, but this is me bringing up a point about J.R. Smith, which Gary just brought to my attention, too. So, J.R. Smith signed his contract, got suspended by the NBA for smoking weed, and is suspended for the first 5 games when he returns from his knee surgery.
That's fair.
Okay,
so did he have medical reason to smoke the marijuana?
No, just because I think he wanted to hang with his boys. I think that was the only
reason. he deserves a suspension. It should have been more than 5 games, to be honest. And I'm glad that basketball got it right and not have a suspension start as soon as the season started, because that would just be pointless. He's missing time anyway.
760-283-0846. 760-283-0846 to join the conversation. Major League Baseball steroid talks and of course, the wild card discussion, which we had earlier before. Jose, just to put a bow on the wild card discussion that we had earlier, it's a different concept, which I think works. It's working, I guess, for them. But I wonder if with the new commissioner coming in after next year, on whether it's going to stick around and to see whoever takes over will keep the same process.
I'm sure this will be around for. They'll never. Baseball does not take away. They either add on to it or stay status quo. They never take away something that has been implemented. So next year we'll have more instant replay. I'm sure there'll be talk about expanding this and maybe even adding more playoff teams. you know, years down the line, not anytime soon, but possibly years down the line, eventually what will end up happening is, and this is my fear for all sports, is that regular seasons will be irrelevant, and it will just be an all-out tournament, and that will determine the champion. You know, it'll just be an all-out tournament, every team playing each other in a bracket, you know, NCAA basketball-style game, and that will be what will determine the championship. And I fear that's where all sports are going to start heading towards. And not in our time, but somewhere down the line.
Well, I don't know if they're going to shorten the season. I mean, if the NFL wants to extend it, but I don't think they can because the players are just grueling. And baseball, as I said, it's always been long, but it's a long season, April to September, especially if you're a New York Mets fan right now. That's for another time and place. But at this point, I think with baseball, it's going to be very interesting to see, Randy, as you pointed out, new commissioner is going to be coming in. Are they going to be very aggressive? You know, they might have a completely different stance on steroids and how they handle it. That will be very interesting. They're going to be different testing, you know, things like that. They really have to look at things to police the game. I think it's still really tough. I don't know. I just think there's probably so many people that are still doing it that aren't even being, you know, not being caught. But you really think about the other thing, too, is how these people are performing, the people that have gotten caught and people that haven't gotten caught. But the image that they're giving to people that are younger right now, you know, in high school, oh, let me take steroids. Maybe it'll really get me going and move to the next level. College people, let's take steroids. Why not, you know, and give me a leg up. That's really, you know, people are still going to do it. It's going to be tough to stop, but maybe they're going to have to throw out heavier fines. And it's going to be very interesting to see what happens with this A-Rod situation. We already know what happened with Ryan Braun. It's going to be very interesting. And you know they're going to want to hammer A-Rod if they can baseball. And I'm sure the Yankees in the back of their mind, too, wouldn't mind seeing him in his as well. But I stand by what I said. I want to draw the facts before we make a decision on A-Rod.
Hey, Jose, we have to bring this up to you. Jay-Z, of course, you know, Jay-Z now has started his own sports agency. This is the last baseball note, and then we're going to dive into the NFL. Jay-Z has started his own sports agency, represents Robinson Cano, and there was a report this week about the $300 million contract that he's seeking, a 10-year, $300 million contract. Is this more of a ploy to show that Jay-Z's company has arrived, or is he justified for asking for this type of money?
No, it's a ploy that's going to backfire. And just remember, this is the same kind of tactic that we're using with Victor Cruz. And Victor Cruz did not sign for the money that they were going after. So they already have a fail in that aspect. To go so public with this, there's no way in hell any team in baseball, with the possible exception of the Los Angeles Dodgers, is going to even think about giving Cano a 10-year, $300 million deal. And I'm going to tell you right now, if they don't get anywhere near that number, and for me, the only way you could count this as a win is if they get within $60 million of that number, it's going to be a disaster. Then it's just going to prove more and more that Jay-Z is way over his head in this venture of his. Now, I don't know if Jay-Z is his physical agent or if he's just part of Jay-Z's organization, but, you know, to say that you want that much money, and everyone knows he's not going to get anywhere near that, that'll be a failure in my book as far as I'm concerned. And by the way, the fact that Jay-Z brought up that him being a drug dealer in the past helps him be an agent now, why aren't we busting this guy? Seriously.
Please, I mean,
we try to link Aaron Hernandez to every murder case and Connecticut. Why don't we just do that with Jay-Z right now?
Well, I think regarding Mr. Canelo, he's 30 years old right now. He's actually going to be 31 soon, coming up this month. So, pretty happy birthday, Robinson Canelo. He's 31, so he took this man a 10-year deal. He's going to be 41. There's no way I'm getting this guy a 10-year deal. You know, I think he's probably given 7 years, maybe with an option, maybe 8, but that's pushing it. They're really sticking to that 189 payroll, and you really got to look at the Yankees. You know, what's it going to be to do with Sierra, with his health? What's going on with Derek Jeter? What's going to happen with A-Rod? Curtis Granderson's going to be gone. So they're starting pitching. I mean, in 2000, when they won their last series, 2009, you know, they had pitching. Their pitching hasn't been as good. And pitching, you really rely on pitching in baseball. You need pitching. Hitting can only get you so far. And the injuries, you know, unfortunately, they caught up with the Yankees. Again, they made a valiant effort. But I'm not giving this guy 10 years. There is no way. I would say max 7 years, maybe with an option. 8 years,
that's too high in my book. That's way too high in my book. In fact, right now there's a lot of debates right now whether you should even, you know, be talking those types of numbers. Listen, Jose, like you just said, like we were just discussing before, there's got to be a point where you have to start looking to rebuild, and this might be the time for the Yankees to really start looking at that rebuild. You know, this might be it, and as much as you know, people like yourself, you're not a Yankee fan, you're a Mets fan. It just might be time. And giving a guy $300 million when you don't really know, you know, when your rotation is a disaster, it might be time just to, you know, say, you know, if you really feel you're worth $300 million, you can go get that somewhere else. Just go. They have to stay decisions to make on Granderson. They don't know what they're going to be getting back with Teixeira. So you see, Sabathia is a shell of its form itself. Right now, you know, you really don't. You're losing Pettit. You're losing Rivera. Jeter's up there in age. Of course, you have A-Rod. The team has more question marks than they do certainties. So
let me tell you
really
something. You know what? I can tell you what will tell you how this team is going to be run next year, and it's very simple. I want to see what they do with Girardi, and if Girardi goes, then I'm telling you right now, this team is going to be heading for a major rebuild. But of course, the fans won't be told that. We'll know it, but it won't be a rebuild in the sense where it's obvious. Well, it will be obvious, but it won't be stated. So that to me would be the telltale sign of what this franchise will do from this point forward.
Well, if Girardi comes back,
that, you know, then they're going to try to win like they always do. If he doesn't come back, then it's full-fledged rebuild mode.
Well, not only that, but I also will guarantee you this. You start rebuilding, if you're the Yankees, you can't justify charging the money for those tickets at the stadium that you do. You can't
remember,
do it.
Just like every sport fan needs to understand, and this is an unfortunate truth, you're not paying for what's out there now. You're paying for what was out there 10 years ago. And that's the sad, simple truth.
Well, here's another part of it, Jose, and this is something that we're going to use. I'm going to use the Paul Heyman theory on you. I'm going to use the Paulie Dangerous to Paul Heyman theory on you. I think you and I had a discussion that, you know, he sat down with TNA president Dixie Carter, and he discussed coming in there to, you know, run the organization, and it would be run sort of like it was with ECW. You know, he's focusing on the younger guys and not the older guys. He wanted to only have one guy over the age of 40. And he wanted the people to say, wow, if these guys are this good now, just wait 5 years, 6 years on how good they're going to be. Whereas if you keep guys like Hogan and Angle and Nash and all those other older guys around, they're going to talk about, wow, you think they're good now, you should have seen them 5 years ago. I think the Yankees are now in that type of situation. The Yankees, like, you know, these guys are on their last legs. And don't get me wrong, Alfonso Soriano came in and played excellent baseball for them when he got traded over here from Chicago. But you have to ask yourself, as I have the payroll for the Yankees up here, you know, you have Alex Rodriguez who made $29 million. Vernon Wells made $24.6 million.
Oh, man.
Oh, Shea?
No, well, remember, 19... they traded for him, though, and I don't believe the Yankees actually paid a lot of that deal.
That's true, too, but look, you still have Curtis Granderson. You know, Kuroda, Granderson, and Cano, who all made $15 million apiece. Pettis made $12 million. Mariano made $10 million. Phil Hughes, who's one of the worst pitchers in baseball this year, made $7.1 million. And, you know,
he's
and
not good
Java,
for that
park. What'd you say?
He's not good for that park. I think that's abundantly
not.
Clear that that park is not a place that he should be pitching in. He pitches better
and
on the road.
And also, I'm not giving the Yankees a pass because they screwed up the career job at Chamberlain. If he was going to be a reliever, he should have stayed a reliever. If he was going to be a starting pitcher, then he should have been a starting pitcher. The 2008 season destroyed his career. So
I hope you tell that to Michael Kay next time you see him, because he'll tell you that's a load of crap. Although I agree with you that they did ruin him, but you know, the voice of the Yankees does not buy that one iota.
Well, that's a good thing. I really don't converse with Michael Kay as much as I probably should. You know, the reality of it is the Yankees had a $203 million payroll this year, and their goal is to get down to 180. All right.
189. And then,
okay.
By the way, Cashman basically said that while that is something they would like to do, it's not a definite thing. So, I think everything you'll need to know about what the Yankees are going to do next year will be hinged on who comes back to manage this team next year. I think that's the first pebble that drops.
I'm telling you, Jose, I'm looking at the team list of who has the highest salaries in baseball as far as teams are concerned. There are some really bad teams here in the top 10 of payrolls. There's some really bad teams. You have the Phillies, you have the Giants, you have the Angels, the White Sox, the Blue Jays, the Nationals. There's some bad baseball up here. Guys getting paid some bad money here.
And like I said, like with everything else, everyone gets paid for what they did in the past. No one pays you on what they think you're going to do. Rare is the contract where that is the case. David Wright signed one of those contracts before he signed his last deal with the Mets. They gave him a contract based on what they thought he was going to do. And now he signed the contract based on what he had done. And you know, but that's how every contract is in sports. They sign you for what you did, not what they think you're going to do. Because if people were honest with themselves, they would know. You know, Albert Pujols would have not gotten the deal he got if people were honest with themselves. That's why teams like St. Louis are always successful, because they know when to let go. Girardi can handle that team.
Why not? I think
David Johnson had a horrible year this year. I mean, they had a good record, but obviously not making the playoffs for that team was a disaster. If David Johnson was as laid back as it gets, could not will that team to win. I don't see how Joe Girardi's I'm intense all the time style is going to play with that team. You got to remember, whoever they bring in to manage that team has to be able to deal with Bryce Harper. And if you don't get along with Harper, it's just going to be bad news.
Washington was 86-76, 10 games behind Atlanta. I don't know if he would be a good fit in Washington. He might be too fiery for some of those young guys. And like you just said, I think he would butt heads. You know, like some of these teams on that list, you know, you look at teams like the Angels who have over $100 million in payroll. You have, you had teams like the Philadelphia Phillies who still have a boatload of contracts from that World Series team a couple years ago.
Those are guys that were let go by other teams because they knew their time had come. You know, for the Cardinals, for example, the Angels, they signed Pujols and Josh Hamilton back-to-back years. They also signed C.J. Wilson to a big contract. You know, Philadelphia, all that money is in all their pitching, and all that pitching went to hell. It was old.
Yes, that's true.
But that's the thing. They were signing based on past performance, hoping that what they did in the past would continue to a moderate rate. Unfortunately, what ended up happening with all these guys is that they declined sharply. It was a sharp decline. It wasn't even a slow decline. It's kind of with the Mets. Same thing with Johan Santana and the Mets. You were paying for past performance, and then basically every Met fan accepts that contract because he threw that no-hitter that was tainted, unfortunately. But still, first no-hitter in Met history. It's, as far as you're concerned, the contract was money well spent.
Okay, Jose, real quick, we had two teams, actually, that finished with over 100 losses, Houston and Miami. But what I want to do, I want to go to the opposite of this. I'm going to ask both of you guys, out of the five teams that are left in the American League, Boston, Tampa, Detroit, Cleveland, and Oakland, who are we talking about in the World Series from the American League? Jose, we'll start with you first.
You know what? In this sort of situation, pitching wins. So, to me, the teams with the best pitching is Tampa Bay or Oakland. I think Tampa Bay hits a little bit better than Oakland. The Oakland's really dependent on the home run ball, and if that's not going, they're not going to really do anything. So I'm going to say Tampa Bay will make it out of the AL to represent the American League in the World Series.
Mr. Caster?
Well, it's going to be an interesting one, but I think I like Detroit. They got quite a lineup. Scherzer's had a great year, but no one's talking about Verlander, and I think he's going to really step up when it counts, and that's going to be in the playoffs. So I'm going to go with Detroit. The only one concern I do have is Cabrera is really banged up. But he's been banged up the whole year, and he's really pulled through. So I'm gonna go with Detroit in the AL.
You know, I'm probably going to be wrong, and that's okay. And I'm the guy when when I make the prediction, they usually fall flat on their face. But I always think there's always one or two teams that just get very hot this time of year and finds a way to ride their way to a championship. I like what Cleveland's doing. They won their last 10. Francona's got them doing something right. If they can find a way to get in there, anything's possible, and it'll be very interesting to see Cleveland in a World Series. So,
I find it funny that none of us picked Boston, who's the best team in the American League.
None of us, seriously. None of us are saying Boston, but that's probably the team that's going to end up going there. Jose, before I think we're done with baseball. I think we've exhausted baseball to a point we can do it. We got to go into the NFL, and before we jump too heavy into the NFL, we have to do our fantasy football weekly update, and it's brought to you by Duran Promotions. I'm sorry, not Duran Promotions. Our Uppy Custom Creations. They bring fame to your name. Go to uppycreations.net for all your promotional product needs. Ask for Mike. He'll take care of you. Here's your Monday morning hangover fantasy football update for week 4.
This is Anthony Mobile, host of the Monday Morning Hangover Fantasy Football Podcast, which airs every Thursday night at 7 p.m. and is brought to you by BackSportsPage.com. I'm here to give you the fantasy follow-up for week 4 and a look ahead to your week 5 matchup. So listen up in order to win this weekend's games. All right, so the running backs continue to struggle, and you're having a tough time figuring out who is for real. Doug Martin, C.J. Spiller, Ray Rice, Stephen Ridley, Maurice Jones-Drew, Chris Johnson, David Wilson, just to name a few. Quick rundown. Hold tight on Doug Martin. He still leads the league in attempts. His breakout will come. C.J. Spiller owners could start to worry. His injury history and Fred Jackson will both cut into his production all season long. Trade Spiller before it's too late. Ray Rice is struggling and clearly not healthy, but he'll be back to normal as soon as his hip is 100%. Stephen Ridley owners can really panic. He's not getting a full workload and the touchdowns just aren't there. He needs to be benched until further notice. Maurice Jones-Drew is stuck in the worst offense in the league. The return of Justin Blackmon will definitely help, and I'd hold on to MJD for now. Chris Johnson isn't even a flex play anymore. Jake Locker is now hurt, and in the next 3 weeks, the Titans play the Chiefs, Seahawks, and 49ers, potentially the best three defenses in the league. Trade Chris Johnson away for anything you can get. And finally, David Wilson needs to be benched. No explanation necessary. No more dwelling on the past. Let's move forward. Le'Veon Bell jumped onto the scene with his 2-touchdown effort this week. He'll be a nice running back, too, for the rest of the season. Brian Hoyer's for real. He isn't startable just yet, but he's plenty good enough to keep Josh Gordon and Jordan Cameron as top-tier options at their positions. Danny Woodhead's become the most reliable player in the Chargers' offense and has huge PPR value. Alshon Jeffrey had a breakout game that we've all been waiting for. He's a supreme athlete and should do just fine in this passing offense. He'll be a wide receiver 3 from here on out. Speaking of young athletic receivers, Justin Blackmon returns from suspension this week and is worth an add in all leagues. Now for the bye week. Four teams with a combined 2 wins get the week off. Washington, Minnesota, Pittsburgh, and Tampa Bay leave a ton of running back production that needs to be replaced. My fill-in of the week for the running back position, Andre Ellington from Arizona. The Cardinals are losing faith in Rashard Mendenhall, and Ellington has the versatility to be a legit weapon as a pass catcher in this passing offense. If you're in a bind, I would prefer Ellington over Mendenhall this week against Carolina, especially in deeper leagues. Also monitor the progress of Darren McFadden. If he's unable to play in Week 5, Rashad Jennings will get the bulk of the carries in this much-improved rushing offense. Lastly, I expect a bounce-back week from Darrell Richardson and the whole St. Louis offense against the Jaguars. At wide receiver, if there were ever a week for a breakout performance, Hakeem Nicks should have plenty of opportunity against the poorest Eagles defense. My bench of the week, Chris Johnson at Kansas City. CJ can be benched each of the next 3 weeks after having only 4 catches on the season and losing goal line carries to Jackie Battle. Also stay away from Jaquizz Rodgers and Jason Snelling. Already limited by a timeshare, they face a legit Jets defense on Monday night who shut down the running back position all year long. Try to find your flex plays elsewhere, preferably in the wide receiver position. This is Anthony Mulvihill with your Week 5 Fantasy Follow-Up, brought to you by BackSportsPage.com and the Monday Morning Hangover Fantasy Football Podcast, airing on Thursday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Make sure to tune in and follow us on Facebook to send in all your questions. Thanks for listening, and best of luck in your games this weekend. Take it to the house.
All right, that was Anthony Mulvihill. Every Thursday night, Monday Morning Hangover, 7 p.m. here on the Real Sports Talk. Oh, so that's on Real Back Sports Page Radio Network. So, Jose, let's jump into the
way, I have to say, unfortunately, I think Anthony, you know, obviously because it gets posted, you know, before we actually, you know, we get all the news for today. But Darrell Richardson actually tweeted today, and I don't know why he tweeted this, but he's not starting this week.
Yeah, this was actually recorded yesterday morning, so.
I don't know why they would tweet that. But that's not Anthony's fault. You know, there's nothing you can do about that. I mean, Darrell Richardson broke protocol there.
This is also coming from the guy who despises Twitter. So you're breaking.
I'm telling you. Now listen, Randy and Gabby, before we get on to the football, I'm going to tell you why I'm mad today, because I'm sure Randy's, like, wondering, what the hell is wrong with Jose? Let me tell you exactly why I'm mad today, and it won't take long. It'll take a couple of minutes. It's a funny story. So, I have to head home from work, and I have to take care of the laundry. I have to bring it over to get dropped off. And if anyone's familiar with Lodi, New Jersey, you know, there's lots of traffic lights everywhere. You know, it's just a pain. So I have to head towards Garfield, New Jersey, to drop off my laundry because that's where the laundromat that me and my wife use. I'm at a light, and I see someone careening down the road, but, you know, they're slowing down, but I can see that they were speeding at some point. They get behind me, and literally a second after the fact that the light turned green, I'm getting honked at repeatedly. And I'm looking at my rearview mirror, and it's a woman driving, like a young girl. It's a young girl driving. So I think nothing of it. I'm like, oh, she's obviously in a rush to get somewhere. She pulls up next to me, and we're still driving, mind you, and she honks the horn. So I roll my window down, and she yells, and I'm not even kidding you, this is what she yells to me. It's like, listen, a-hole, I got out of my house really late, and I'm running late to my appointment. I would appreciate it if you would just move already. So she yells that to me as we're driving. So I obviously let her go by. She's careening down the road. I go make my turn at the light so I can head down to the laundromat. And as I hear the turn, as I make the turn, I hear a huge crash. So I'm thinking nothing of it. As I'm coming back from the laundry, though, and obviously I'm annoyed because I'm getting yelled at by some stupid little teenage girl. As I'm coming back, though, and this is the only thing that made it worthwhile, and Randy, you're probably going to say I'm a horrible person for this.
You're a horrible person.
Police over the area. That girl hit a car. And that was the crash I heard. And the police were over the area. No one was injured. But then she gets put into a cop car. And I was at the light, so I got out of my car. You know, I parked and I got out and asked, you know, I recognized the officer from the bar I go to. So I asked him, I said, hey, what happened here? And he's like, oh, this stupid girl, you know, she wasn't looking, she was speeding, and she hit a car. I'm like, oh my God, it's like, why are you arresting her, though? I was like, oh, don't, and he's like, well, you didn't hear this from me, but we found like a bag of pot on her. And I just laughed. So I said, can I just take a look at her? And he's like, yeah, why not? So I go up to the car where they got her. I tap in the window, and I gave her the finger.
That's just classless.
You know, I shouldn't have.
Classless,
and thankfully,
classless,
the guy
knew
me.
Classless,
he was completely cool with this.
Classless.
But, I mean, I was so mad, though, because she yelled at me. But, like, just driving a normal, like a normal person. She's driving like an idiot. She rams into someone. And then not only that, she was also talking on the phone when she was yelling at me.
Well, that's a better reason to be pulled over and be, you know, that's, you should know better than just to be driving and talking on the phone. Now, that's why they have Bluetooth. So, yeah, I think that's stupid.
I agree. Here's what the people want to know, Jose, out of this story. Did you separate the whites from the colors when you did the laundry?
You know, unfortunately, we don't have a washing machine. We rent an apartment. We don't have a washing machine here. So, you know, I don't want to be bothered with having to do it. My wife was all fine with doing it, and I think she got used to the idea of not having to do it. So it's just the way it is.
All right, Jose, we have to move over to the NFL. And I think this is really the big story. And we can talk about the 4-0 teams and some of these other teams that are having a lot of success. I think the bigger story is the two proudest franchises. Two of the most proudest franchises in the NFL are 0-4. And that's the New York Giants. And I'm not talking about the Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm talking about the New York Giants and the Pittsburgh Steelers. You heard Anthony say during his tennis football update, this should be the week that Hickey and Nicks breaks out. Last week he had some really, I don't even want to say tough moments, because didn't it look like some of those balls are right in his hand?
Well, I don't know if you saw, but he actually looked like he had a broken finger. So that might have been part of the problem with him, but it's very hard to take Akeem Nick seriously when he was complaining that he didn't get the ball at all last week, the week prior, and then to have the performance he had. I was looking at a picture of his hand, and it looked like at minimum it was dislocated.
My question, guys, is this, like, with only being two games out of the division, is this the week that the Giants can get on the board, become 1-4, put Philadelphia 1-4, and find their way back into this division race?
I'm going to be honest. If the Giants don't win this week, I don't know when they're going to win a game. Because before the season even started, you know, me and Randy had them going anywhere between 10-6 and 11-5, and I don't think we really considered how bad the Giant offensive line was. So now it's at a point now where if the Giants don't win this game, I don't know when they're going to win a game.
I don't think they would. I don't think he would win a game until the Oakland game, to be honest with you.
And that's a far cry from what we had him at then, Randy. I'll tell you that much right now. Right now, the line is horrible. The defense hasn't been as bad as the numbers bear out because, unfortunately, they've turned the ball over 16 times. First four games of the season. I mean, that's just an unthinkable number when you look at it. I mean, so that defense is probably all worn out. But they're not getting pressure on the ball. I mean, on the quarterback, and that's the biggest hindrance too. You know, it's just they're not getting pressure. And you know, as bad as Philadelphia has been, the Giants have been worse. So I'm very worried about this game, actually. I'm very concerned that the Giants can get blown out of this game. And, you know, the only saving grace then at that point is that if you're a Giant fan, you know, maybe you start hoping, and I mean, it might be too early for this kind of talk, but maybe you get to that point that, you know what, maybe we should just tank the year just so we can start rebuilding this franchise. Because, unfortunately, the biggest hindrance about this team being mediocre for so long is that you never get a decent pick. You know, I believe the highest pick they've had, you know, in a very long time has been the 15th pick, which was, you know, I believe Shockey was a 15th pick, and then JPP was a 15th pick. You know, I can't remember the last time they had a pick higher than that. I mean, I could be way off on that, but I believe that's the highest they've had in a very long time. You know, so it's, you know, right now they need a win on Sunday, and if they don't, I don't see this Giants team winning anytime soon.
Listen, I use this analogy earlier in the week describing the Giants and the Steelers to quite a few people. The Giants and the Steelers right now are like a boat. You know, Gary used this analogy earlier. They're like a boat with cracks in it, okay? You keep plugging holes. You keep trying to plug holes with little pieces to keep the boat going. But sooner or later, you're going to have to rebuild the boat and fix all the boats. You know what I mean? That this is, it's the point now where the Giants just might need to rebuild. Now, everybody and their sisters tell me that I'm absolutely crazy if you decide you wanted to, you know, possibly go serious rebuilding and even possibly trade Eli Manning. And because if Coughlin's gone, I don't know if you just start fresh, and including moving Eli to get some value from him.
That's never going to happen. They're
never
going to trade Eli Manning. That's not happening. So just get that out. Eli Manning will be here for the length of his contract, and then at that point, that's when they'll decide what they're going to do. But Eli Manning will never get traded unless Eli Manning asks to get traded. That's the only way that's happening.
I understand.
The issue with the Giants, though, when it comes to when you talk about rebuilding, and I agree, listen, they should start rebuilding, like, and big time. But even if you go through that route of rebuilding through the draft, you still got to do it right. And the problem is that Jerry Reese has been drafting for the last few years, and Jerry Reese has this draft the best player available philosophy that really hasn't panned out all that well. Because, let's be honest, which one of these guys that Jerry Reese has been responsible for, and he's been responsible for a lot of this because even before he was the GM, he was part of the scout team. You know, other than, like, the first-round picks that they've had that hit, like JPP and Hakeem Nicks and guys of that ilk, what guys have developed for the Giants from rounds 2 through 4? I mean, there's a laundry list of guys that have, you know, you can basically say are either bust or on their way to being bust that just have not panned out.
Well, I think the Giants' defensive formula under Jerry Reese has been having a, you know, decent average secondary. Linebackers that just get by, and then having that great pass rush. So what you're finding now is that the linebackers and the secondary at this point right now, they're getting a little more exposed because they're not getting a pass rush. Justin Tuck, he's on his last year. Fortunately, this may be it for him if he doesn't produce anymore. JPP, you don't know what's going on with him. I may give him a mulligan because of his back. But
Mulligan! Mulligan!
They're going to be bringing in the rookie Hankins, second-round pick to play this week. Moore out of Texas A&M is going to be playing. He's a third-round pick. He's going to be playing this week. He had a good week last week on special teams. So it'll be interesting if the front four can get a little more pass rush. Now, in the beginning of the year on the offense, the Giants, like, my main concern was the offensive line. I thought they were actually fine at the skilled positions. Now, the offensive line has gotten old very quickly, which is pretty surprising. You know, last week, listen, they didn't have Boss and they didn't have Snee on the from the center to the right. Portal was his first start. Brewer was his second, and Pugh, that was his fourth start. So, going back to you, Randy, and Jose, I agree with you. They're not going to get rid of Eli Manning. I mean, has he thrown a lot of interceptions? Yeah, I think so. some of it has been obviously the line. He's been under so much pressure. And I said this to one of my friends that's a Steeler fan. Now I know how Ben Roethlisberger feels because he has no line whatsoever and he gets killed every year. So has Eli, made probably some throws he shouldn't have? Yeah, but listen, for the most part, I'm not pinning this on Eli Manning. The running game has struggled as well. Wilson in the beginning was fumbling. But now you got to give this kid a chance. You need him on the field. I'm actually happy that I never want to see a guy cut, but Darrell Scott had to be cut. He got cut, which is a good thing for the Giants. I want to see Wilson on the field more. He is dynamic. Get him screen passes. Get him in different areas for him to be in the ball. Get him in the open field. I want to see that more. I think this week against the Eagles, the Giants come home, and they're going to put up a good effort. I don't know if they're going to win, but I expect them to put up a better effort at this point.
Over under, boys, for the Giants, more than 20 points or less than 20 points?
You know what? I'm going to say less.
I'm going to say if they want to win this game, they better score more than 20 points. So if they don't score more than 20 points, they're not going to win this game.
I know Jose hates when I start going numbers-wise on you, but Tom Coughlin versus the Philadelphia Eagles. Regular season, he is 10-10 versus him. He's at 500. And counting the two playoff losses he's had against them, he is 10-12 against the Eagles. Bad news if you're a Giants fan. And the two divisions that they play this year, they play the NFC North and the AFC West. Tom Coughlin's record in his career against the NFC North is 11-16. And his record against the AFC West, it is 10-7. But San Diego's playing well. Obviously, they lost this to Denver and Kansas City already. And they still have Oakland to go. I know you should never read in those types of numbers because obviously the coaches change, players change, and so things differ. But Coughlin's record against the Eagles is the only team that he is 500 or less against.
I think those numbers are just all relative at this point. It's the now, and it's what you're facing at this point. There's a lot of parity in the NFL. The Giants, they are right now, they're 0-4, but any time, I feel like any given Sunday, as they say, anybody can step up and beat anyone. The numbers don't faze me. The Eagles' record, division records, to me, that doesn't really matter. It's all about the present. The Giants are just going to have to take it one week at a time. And go from there.
And Jose, just to follow up on your point about the draft, in 2009, it was their first pick was the 20. They drafted 29th. Also, they had the 13th and 28th pick. They picked Hakeem Nicks and Clinton Sintem. They picked 15th in the 2010. They picked up Jason Pierre-Paul. 2011, they drafted 19th, Prince Mukamara. They drafted 32nd in 2012, and they picked David Wilson. And 19th.
They haven't had a pick higher than 15, though, is what I'm saying.
Right. No, 13th. In 2009, they had the 13th pick with Hakeem
Nicks. Who they picked in that draft?
They had the 13th pick. They picked Hakeem Nicks.
Hakeem Nicks is not the 13th pick of that draft. He was towards the
Maybe
end.
It was 29th. I apologize. I'm looking in their media guide. Giants and then drafted 31st in the 2008 draft, and they picked up Kenny Phillips.
I can't remember the last time the Giants had a pick higher than 15. I mean, I know they've had them, obviously, because there have been some horrible picks in that spot. I mean,
they had Eli Manning when they picked Philip Rivers, and they traded it for Eli Manning, so it was
that's the last time they had a pick higher than 15.
No, they had the 12th pick the following year. That pick was actually traded to the Chargers for
in the
manager.
They didn't make the pick.
Yeah, so basically, Yeah, so basically their last really high pick was for Eli Manning. The top 10 pick was Eli Manning. So it's been a long time since the Giants have seen the top 10 of the NFL draft. And I think if the things keep going the way they're going, they may not only see the top 10, but they may see the top 3 at this rate.
Yeah, that's impossible right now.
Yeah, like you're talking about the...
So Jacksonville will probably end up with the number 1 pick.
Well, listen, boys, we only got about 10 minutes left here. And I really appreciate Gary coming on the show. Jose is a little bit more boisterous than he normally is today. If you see Jose driving, do not cut him off, or else you know what's going to happen. And, Jose, there's still some different things going on in sports. You know, I know the NHL just started up this week, too. And Gary was a little opinionated about that. The Rangers are starting on the road. We're going to be having Charles Curtis come on in the next couple of weeks to start hitting on some NHL action now that we're up and rolling. NBA training camps start, so in a couple of weeks we're going to start breaking down the NBA about getting ready for the season. There was something that, Jose, I have to ask you. It's not really NBA-oriented. It's video game-oriented. NBA 2K14 hits the shelves this week, and they had an interview with Michael Jordan. And I don't know if you saw this, but he said that he can beat if he played the same time LeBron James is playing right now, he can definitely beat him one-on-one.
I read about it.
Yeah, I found it interesting. I grew up. Jordan had almost like a two phase of a career. When he first came in the league, and he was this scorer and just Dominique Wilkins was the human highlight film, but Michael Jordan was like the highlight to watch in the NBA. I always remembered. I missed that part of his career, his early part of his career. I started watching him when he was winning championships back in, 91, 92, 93, and then 96, 97, 98. And that's the Jordan I remember. And I remember him being the best all-around player in basketball. And I've watched LeBron James his whole entire career, and I've seen him evolve into that now. In their prime, who do you think would win, Jordan or LeBron? I know this is an argument you can really just have, and we've had so many times before, but I think LeBron has put himself at a different level.
LeBron is a player. If I was Michael Jordan, I'd be more worried about running my team than worry about guys who I could be when I'm in my prime, because he really hasn't done a bang-up job of running that Charlotte team, so I'd be more worried about that. But listen, I think Michael Jordan needs to understand something. I don't care what anyone says, but when you are built like LeBron James is and can move the way he does, you're going to have a hard time convincing me that he could that Michael Jordan could beat him. Because all LeBron James had to do is just take him down into the post every single time. Michael Jordan's not going to stop him. I mean, it's and that's not a knock on him. It's not. But, human evolution has just proven that, we've gotten bigger and stronger. I mean, I don't buy that. If you think you're going to just rain jump shots on LeBron all game, like, just remember, too, LeBron James is a really good defensive player. So not only is he bigger than him, he's probably just as quick, if not quicker. He's stronger than him, too.
I'm a firm believer, though, Jose, and I would love to have seen this Miami Heat team play that Chicago Bulls team. I think that Chicago Bulls team would have four-game sweep this Miami team.
I don't necessarily buy that because, you know what? Regardless of what I think of those guys, Chicago was LeBron, Jordan and Pippen. And then, a bunch of ragtag guys, and then Horace Grant was number 3 on that wheel. Either way you slice it, it's still LeBron, it's still Dwayne Wade, and it's still Chris Bosh. I mean, those guys, it's just better. It's a better team.
When Bosh has entered Miami, I think he has officially, his numbers have decreased. He was a 2010 scorer on a bad team. That's what Bosh was.
Yeah, but he doesn't have to be a 2010 scorer on this team. That's the point. He doesn't have to do that. That's the thing. It's not like Bosh got to do these things. he doesn't have to. Remember, when Bosch was running that team for a while, when they had all those injuries, he was putting up those numbers again. But he doesn't have to do that with this team. With Dwayne Wade, it's obvious that his skill is deteriorating. But he still puts up numbers, and it pains me to say that. But, I mean, like, those guys can, believe me, I think they can more than with you know handle their own with those Bulls teams.
I'm not sure about that. Yeah, again,
we'll never know now, will we?
Huh?
We'll never know will we?
Yeah, well, we never will, but you know, we have the 97 Bulls team here. There's a couple names on here. If I told you that were on the team, you'd probably call me a liar and wouldn't believe me. But you had Randy Brown, Judd Bushler, Jason Caffey, Brian Williams, who changed his name to Vasan Deli, Ron Harper, Michael Jordan, Steve Kerr, Tony Kukoc, Luke Longley, Robert Parrish, the Chief! The Chief, Scotty Pippen, Dennis Rodman, Dickie Simpkins, Matt Stigna, and Bill Winnington. Bill Winnington, who still does play-by-play for the Bulls. And that wasn't even the best team of all time. That was not the 72-10 team. The 72-10 team was the year before. So, you know, it's...
The Miami team that's constructed right now would be able to hang with that team. Because that Bulls team, let's face it, that was a bad time in the NBA, and you had Jordan and Pippen. Whatever third wheel. Plus, yeah, and Rodman was there to kind of be a bitch to everyone. So... I still think that the Miami Heat team, any year you want to take since LeBron's been there, could more than hold their own with that Bull team.
We'll see what's going to happen with that, though. But you know, I'm a full believer. I'm a full believer in karma's going to come around, and I know the San Antonio Spurs are still stinging about that from last year. Jose, about the loss in the finals. Jose, really quick, we have to help a friend out. Peter Robert Casey, you know, our good friend who's come on the show with us before, has a new website out. I promised him I was giving him a plug this week. If you guys want to check out a really cool NBA basketball site or just a basketball site in general, basketballpassport.com. It's pretty cool. It tracks the games that you want to go to. It tracks the teams that you want to follow, and it gives you all the stats that you want to see. That's basketballpassport.com. Check it out from our good friend Peter Robert Casey, the man with three first names and one passion, and that's basketball. So that's a good plug for our friend, Peter Robert Casey. So, Jose, I do believe we are going to be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. A little earlier, maybe 7 o'clock. We're going to be consistent all the way through. Next week we'll be starting to break down the NHL and the NBA a little bit more because we're getting closer and closer to the season. And, of course, the NFL will continue on. And we'll see what other stories break this week. But as always, it's always a good time and a good fun. And we also like to thank our the living legend for returning for this week.
And, of course, thanks for having me. It was a pleasure.
All right,
nothing
guys,
to say
listen,
to you.
I'm going to bounce a little early so you guys can do what you got to do. But we'll see everyone next week. Randy and Gav, you finish it up. I got to take care of some business at the homestead. But be well. Randy, Gary, I'll leave it up to you.
Thank you, sir. So with all that being said, you know, we're down to our last 90 seconds, and I'm going to usually do a little rant here to rant it off, and I'm going to end it like this. With, you know, Jose told me not to talk about the NBA, but I'm still going to do it anyway because it's my show, and I pay the bills, so I'm going to take care of it and do what I want. NBA season starting off with Media Day and training camps this week. There's so many different underlining stories, people coming back from injuries, Derrick Rose, Russell Westbrook, Kobe Bryant. The most interesting story to me is still coming out of Brooklyn, what's going on with the Nets. First-year coach Jason Kidd with assistant coaches Lawrence Frank, Popeye Jones, and others have an all-star team and have the most all-star appearances on any roster around the league. That doesn't lead to victories. I do think that the Nets are going to be the fourth best team in the Eastern Conference behind Miami, Indiana, and Chicago. But Mr. Prokhorov has to remember, money does not equal wins, and it does not equal championships. You can ask the Yankees over the last decade about that. You can have a $200 million payroll and still not win anything. So keep that in mind, Mr. Prokhorov. as the Nets are going to be sitting home after the second round of the playoffs this year. Real Sports Talk Radio can be heard on iTunes every week immediately after the show. Also find us on backsportspage.com and on blogtalkradio.com/backsportspage. Visit backsportspage.com for all updates. See you next week, folks.